To kick things off, we start with the first Grey Cup, 1966. After 56 years, they finally did it. The Saskatchewan Roughriders won the Grey Cup, 29-14 over the Ottawa Roughriders in Vancouver. One of the members of that 1966 championship team joins us now, and that's defensive back Dale West. Mr. West, thank you for taking time to chat with us.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, 1966 was your sixth year with the team. You played both sides of the ball. You actually, you only had 18 career receptions, but six of them went for touchdowns. What made you settle on playing defense after those first few seasons?
I was made an offer I couldn't understand. No, actually, in 63, when Bob Shaw became the head coach, at the start of the year, had said, I want you to play defense, but I still want you to be the flanker. So for the first five or six or seven games, I played both ways. And then lost my wide receiver job to a real second-rate player, Huey Campbell. It was a different kind of a situation. Huey was such a great guy, and Huey was a terrific receiver. I didn't mind at all. But I continued to play a little bit offense, but then basically strictly defense from that point on.
Now, we're gonna jump right to 1966. Looking back, when did you know that that team was going to be a serious contender for the Grey Cup?
That's a good question. We'd had kind of a close one in 65. And 66 just, right from the get-go, seemed to be a season that came together. I mean, everybody was familiar with one another. We'd improved over the 2 or 3 years, over the 2 years that we had Bob Shaw, and then Eagle came in, and everybody really took the Eagle because he was like a father to us, and really was wise in regards to how he treated people. So it really wasn't a big surprise that we'd done so well in 66, because we really started in 65.
Now, we know Ronnie Lancaster, George Reed were a couple of the big leaders on that team. Before we get to them, who else on that team stood out to you as guys that were just key players, key important roles on that team?
I can go up and down almost the whole roster. In 66, we had people like Al Benesick playing guard. He'd been there for quite a while, but he was an outstanding guard. Kedar Ness, probably the best center that's ever played in the CFL. We had people like Jim Warden, who was a great receiver. I've already talked about Huey Campbell, who was a fantastic receiver. Running backs, well, George Reed and Eddie Buchanan, what can you say? And on the defensive side of the ball, we had some really, really outstanding people. Wally Dempsey was an outstanding middle linebacker. Of course, Atch in the middle always did his job. Garner Ekstrand, I played defense behind him for 6 years. I never saw him knocked down by somebody on the offense. He was just an outstanding player. And if you look back and check all his All-Star awards and things like that, you'd understand why.
Now, Ron Lancaster, what was it like to play with him?
Ronnie was a great guy. He owned the huddle. If you were in the huddle, you never said a word. You shut up and listened, or he would tell you to shut up. He knew everything about that offense. He was absolutely amazing. Quite often, in meetings and things, the Eagle would turn to him and say, Ronnie, how do we block this? And Ronnie would tell me. So he knew what everybody did. And he was an outstanding tactician as well.
Off the field, what was he like?
Oh, great guy. I really, really enjoyed Ronnie. I'd like to tell the story of my son was playing with the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, and they were playing a Vanier Cup in Hamilton, and Ronnie was still with Hamilton at that time, and I went in to have a little visit with him, to have a chat with him, because I hadn't talked to him for a couple of years. And he said, come on, let's go out on the field. And we went out in the field, and the Huskies were practicing. the practice came to an end, he called Tim over to talk to him, shook his hand. You know, that's basically the kind of guy he was. And everybody, you know, all the young kids on the Huskies just kind of stood there with their mouths open. It was amazing. But he treated everybody that way. He's just really a great person.
Now, George Reed is still in Regina, still representing Rider Nation. What was it like playing with him?
Well, George didn't say a whole heck of a lot. He just performed. And I like to say that George and I are very good friends. I still stay in touch with him quite regularly. I talk to him at the games quite regularly. You know, he really took a pounding over the years, but he was always there to go. And really a solid team player.
Now, that particular team in 1966, you guys go 9-6-1, you finish first in the West Division. About what stands out about that season as a whole, you know, before we get into the playoffs and into the Grey Cup, is there any particular moments that kind of stand out above them all?
You know, I can think of some personal moments, but I don't really want to talk to Mitch about them. As a team, there were times in there where, like, we went 4 or 5 games without having the defense scored upon, you know, a touchdown without having a touchdown scored upon us. I think of a game against Hamilton right in the middle. Oh no, I'm a year out. But the defense, as I said, really, really played well that year, and Ronnie had a particularly good year. The big thing about going into the playoffs and everything was that I think everybody felt that we weren't as good as we ended up being. We weren't a favorite in a lot of our games. We played and managed to get through with a winning time for quite a few of the games. That there were some excellent teams in the West at that particular time, but we managed to pull things through.
Now, back then, the playoffs were a best-of-3 series against Winnipeg for the right to go to the Grey Cup. You beat them 2-0, and then we're off to Vancouver. What's it like to play the same team a couple times within a matter of 3 days?
Well, I'm trying to remember what particular year it was. We played 5 games in 14 days. We played the 2-game total point, and then we played best 2 out of 3 final. So that, as I say, worked out to be 5 games in 14 days. I mean, nobody had to really wonder why the West for a long time hadn't done really, really well in the Grey Cups, because early in the 60s, for instance, the East played 14 league games. We played 16. Their final series was a single game, and their semifinal was a 2-game total point. So the maximum number of games that they would play was 19, and I think the maximum for us was 23.
Now, after that second game, you guys went against Winnipeg. What was the mood like in Saskatchewan from the fans as you were getting ready to head to the Grey Cup?
I think everybody was pretty excited. I don't think a lot of people realized that when you're playing football, you don't hear the crowd that much. I was never ever aware of crowd noise and things like that. The fans obviously were excited and treated us, you know, like royalty, and that was great. But it was I don't have anything that really stands out in that regard. But I mean, you know, outside of the fact that the fans always have been fantastic.
Now, a couple days before the Grey Cup, you guys end up actually having lunch with the Ottawa Rough Riders. What's it like having dinner with the enemy, basically?
Well, it was a big thing. It was at the Bay Shore Inn, and it was a great big seafood buffet kind of a thing. So, you know, it was put on by, I think, one of the breweries, and there was lots of people there. So it wasn't like really, really an intimate meeting. You know, we weren't sitting down with Russ Jackson and Ronnie Stewart or anybody like that. They were around, we were around, lots of officials were around. And in those days, you didn't fraternize, basically, with the other players anyway. I mean, even after the game on the field, you didn't do a whole bunch of handshakes or anything like that. That wasn't really part of the game.
So previously, coming into this game, the Riders were 0-8 in Grey Cup games. Was there much talk about in the locker room about winning one for the fans or what this actually means for the franchise itself?
To be quite honest, I think we were just thinking, but it would be just nice to win this last game. it wasn't, well, we're going to do this for the Gipper or anything like that. It was, well, let's go up there and, you know, have a really, really good game and we'll see how it goes. I always tell people, you know, for instance, we get Grey Cup rings. We didn't even know going into the game that you got a Grey Cup ring if you won.
So the game itself, I hear that Jack Abinchan fell down during the introductions.
He did. He went on his butt and it had been wet. I think 40 days of rain and 40 days and nights of rain had just stopped. And he slipped and that kind of, you know, injected a little bit of levity into the situation.
You personally had an interception on Russ Jackson to set up the first touchdown of the game. Can you take us back to that play and kind of walk us through what happened?
I can remember dropping back into my zone. The ball was supposedly being thrown to Martin Atkins. He fell down, the ball landed in my arms, and I ran it back to the 7 or 8. That's basically all I remember. And that I was tackled by Russ Jackson, much to my chagrin. Tackled by a quarterback, you know.
It was tied 14 going into the final quarter. Lancaster throws another touchdown to put the team ahead. And then George Reed scores a 31 touchdown to put the game out of reach. What was it like on the sidelines?
It was great. You know, we realized at that point, like, we gave him 14 points. You know, very, very easy points. And basically those 14 belonged to me. I did not pick up Whit Tucker on a streak early in the game, and I came up to tackle Russ, who I thought it was going to be running, and he threw over top of me to Whit Tucker for the second one. But, you know, when we came back and went ahead, and I think the go-to thing that led us to believe that we were going to win was George's 31-yarder. I mean, that was a heck of a run.
So the final whistle goes, you win your first Grey Cup. What's going through your mind when that happened?
Yeah, you know, it total excitement. I mean, you are thrilled, and you really want to get back to the dressing room to celebrate with everybody. And Herb Capozzi had dropped off several cases of champagne to the dressing room at that particular time, so everybody sat around and drank champagne out of a bottle.
Do you remember the first person that you went and celebrated with?
No. I mean, that's a blur. You know, everybody running around screaming, yelling, patting one another on the back, giving hugs, high fives, all kinds of stuff. No, it was just, it's kind of a blur.
So so any memories of the after party was wiped out by the champagne?
Yeah, we went back to the villa. We had been kept away, way, way from downtown. And Herb Capozzi came through again with, I think, about a pallet of champagne. So we had a really nice party back there. And had a really, really good time with the guys.
Now, when you guys got back to Regina, what can you tell us about getting back here with the Grey Cup, and what was the scene like when you got back?
Well, we got back, we got off the plane, and it was quite surprising because ordinarily, you know, you come back, you get to your car or however you got there and drive home. And we were met with a bus, and the bus loaded us up and took us to the armories, and there were thousands of people at the armories, and we had the Grey Cup with us and everything, and it was kind of a hero's welcome and greatly appreciated and quite exciting.
Did you guys realize at the time just how important it was to the province to finally win that first Grey Cup?
I think it took a little time to get over it, for that to sink in, but, you know, because we were living with the idea, well, hey, you know, we have won a Grey Cup. And, you know, as a team, because we were a very, very close team, and I think that was a little bit of our focus. And then when we got back to Regina and saw the impact on our fans, that we started to realize just how important it was to everyone. And then there were all sorts of things. The province put a dinner on for us and all those kinds of things, and you know, to show their appreciation. And we realized that, hey, you know, we've done something pretty special.
Now, is there anything else about that 66 season that you could share with us and our listeners?
Well, for me, on a personal note, I had a bad injury in the preseason we're playing. I think it was an Ottawa preseason game, and I dislocated my shoulder. And as a result, I lost my starting position as a safety to a really good football player, Bruce Bennett. And then I never played safety except a couple of times when Brucey was unable to. And so it was a big impact on me that particular season. I didn't know, what was in store, because I, with the dislocation, what basically happens is every time you make contact for the rest of the season, unless you get something done to it immediately, it dislocates on you. So I had a chronic dislocation, which was almost every game I just redislocated it. So then they went in and fixed it. But it's still a little tender.
Well, it sounds like 1966 was quite the ride. I know that was just one or two years ago, but I think it's pretty cool that you can remember a lot of that stuff, Mr. West.
Yeah, I appreciate talking with anybody about it, and I thank you for the call.
Well, and thank you so much for taking our call and taking time to speak with us here on episode 100 of the Piffles Podcast. Thank you, and thank you for everything you've done for the Riders and this province.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it. Give my best to everybody there. Thanks again. Yeah.